three boons out here. Yeah. Three or four. Four if you got them. I'd like to remind you, this is the Folk Life stage, brought to you by the Florida Folk Life Program. If y'all can sit in these first four chairs, and which is part of the Florida Department of State. Tom, how about right here? Bill, you can sit on the hill. We can share the cordless. I can even pass it to Tom. Actually, Lee, three booms will do it, because we'll share, three will share this cordless. Put it nice and close, George. He loves it. He loves a microphone.
How much money you got when I turn it off?
Did you bring your water with you? You want water? You never touch the stuff, right? Okay, Mr. Soundman, are we ready?
We are ready.
We are ready. You want to check? Just say hello into that microphone.
Test.
Hello.
What?
Billy, put it a little closer to you. And actually, put it a little bit to this side. Yeah, because you're going to be looking towards me when you answer questions, probably. There you go. That's now you're getting it. It's only his second day of doing this. He's already a pro. He'll be on David Letterman next. Tom, say a word.
Hello, I'm Tom Everett.
That's good.
That's good enough?
Yeah, I think so. George?
No.
It won't pick up on the back side.
We got to get George just right.
About that. Is that better?
Yeah, it's working.
Okay. On my immediate right, your left, is Mr. Tom Everett from Sumter County. 75 years young, is that right? Working cowboy, work 7 days a week. You'll probably, how'd you get the day off today?
Well, it's too. Because of you. And these people. Thank you. Better.
In the vacant chair is Keith Bass. He'll be along in a couple of minutes. And we have Mr. George Altman from Wauchula, who's demonstrating buckskin whip making here. And down on the end, we have Mr. Billy Davis, who is the ranch foreman at Rollins Blue Cypress Ranch down in Osceola County?
Osceola Indian River.
Yeah.
Splits in there, Okeechobee.
Okay, it's in two counties, 45,000 acres. It takes up a part of two counties. And we're going to be talking about and my friend and colleague Bill Mansfield here from the National Endowment for the Arts. Yeah.
You go, Bill.
I don't know. We're going to talk about working cowboys and the things they do. Tom, let's start with you. And can you give us some of your family background and how you got into cowboy work?
My father, which was named Jim Evans, he was a farmer, and he had 13 children, and he farmed real largely. And we gathered the crop with our family. We didn't have to hire no help as to go out and help gather. So we had cucumber trawls that we turned. Sometime Daddy would get the 11 o'clock news, and then we'd have to get up and go in the woods, which is down around Bay Lake, South Bay Lake, and turn those trawls. Then we had to let them up the next morning. So it was just, you know, hard fun family life, but then on the other hand, we are glad that it happened. It made us tough, and we had to go by rules in my father's home. I got away from it.
And don't you have some more of your family that's involved in cow work?
Oh yeah, my son Lucius Everett down at Wachula. He was a foreman for Carly and Chapman for some years, and when they just before they split up, he gave his resignation back in to them, as he'd just be a working hand for a while. And he pastors a church down there at Wachula. My son Lucius, a big heavy set boy. And whether you all know it or not, I've been in the ministry just about all of my life. And I learned how to love God. That's the reason I'm here today. I've been under a lot of pressure, but I'm getting better all the time.
Well, thanks for coming. George, can you tell us how you got started in this business?
Well, just family. They were my granddad. I didn't know his. I didn't know my great granddad on the Altman side, but he was a cowman, and just passed on down to my dad. Dad didn't like it a whole lot. Like I said yesterday, he was a better cowman, but he was a better horseman. I'd seen him ride over bucking horse and just crank the fire out. And I'd just hang on with all four hands and hope I don't fall off. But then he didn't like working with a cow. So he got another business, construction or dragline business. But I kept on with cow and cow industry in one way or another. I might not have been in the cows, but in the cattle industry. Just from a boy. Yeah, I don't remember the first horse that got on. I don't remember the first cow I seen, but you know, from the time I could get up and go, I do remember Grandpa, he would work, ride the horse home at night. He had a McClellan tree saddle, and I'd want to ride that horse. I mean, it may be right at dark, and he'd throw me up there out of no grapefruit grove, and he'd walk me down there and back when I don't think I was much over 3 years old, you know. That's where we all got started, just as family.
Thank you. Billy, your family goes back in the cattle business. You've got some old photos over there. By the way, all these folks will be available if you want to visit, talk over old times or for new friends or make new friends, whatever. They'll all be here under the tent for most of the rest of the day. You going to be here all day?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And I know these guys will, because we're not going to give them their checks until until quitting time.
Same as you, Dave.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk some more. Yeah. Billy, can you just give us a little sort of a condensed rundown on how long your family's been in the cattle business?
My sister done some work, and my family come from Carolinas. Probably my fourth great was born in 1790 and just kind of migrated all the way south. And as far as I know, all of them's been in front of a cow or behind a cow.
Now, was that South Carolina?
I couldn't tell you. Carolinas.
Okay. Because there is, you know, if you get into the history of this, there was South Carolina, as opposed to North Carolina, was where a lot of cattle ranching went on in the 18th century, and they started coming down to Florida. So a lot of the Cracker families trace back to South Carolina, and of course, and Georgia too, but probably a predominance of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So I'd be willing to bet, without knowing more, that it might have been South Carolina.
That's probably correct. Yeah. And I don't know. It's been through the whole family, and me and my brother went to with Daddy ever since we was old enough to ride a horse. And I just stayed with it. I left home when I was 16 and went to riding colts for Buck Lee for $60 a week. And just kind of stayed with it. It's real enjoyable to be out there. I'm not happy doing anything else. I can run a dozer and a little bit of a drag line, but it's just not as rewarding.
Well, what interests me is how you gentlemen learned the trade of working cattle, because I suspect you didn't attend a vocational school to learn how to work cattle, that you learned it, I guess, the school of hard knocks. So, Billy, right, starting with you, what was the first lesson you learned about working cattle? Was it feeding them, watering them, or staying out from behind them? Just what was it?
Probably staying out of the way.
That's a good first lesson.
Yeah. But I can remember one time me and my brother and Daddy and probably two or three of his brothers, the cow crew, we was able to go with them. And I don't know, we was riding off together. And me and my brother, of course, we was like that probably. And when we'd come to a gate, one of the men would get down and open the gate, and we'd ride through the next, and they'd get down. And we went through two or three gates like that, and we rode through a gate, and Daddy said, "You boys come go with me." And I'm thinking, boy, howdy, we go and get some cows, we're going to be able to run these horses. We're going to be able to do something. And we rode around on the end of a cypress head, and he says, "The next gate we come to," and he says, "Anybody older than y'all gets off his horse to get the gate," he said, "there's going to be trouble." And me and John both knew exactly what he was talking about. So it was little lessons like that.
So opening the gate and closing the gate was the first one.
Get there first.
And I guess the pecking order of a cattle crew.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. We could run our horses, but it was to that gate, because if we didn't, we knew what was going what was going to happen.
Well, Mr. Altman, how about you? What do you think was the first lesson you learned, or the first lesson other than in what Billy just told us?
Well, get out of the way. I had an uncle, Ori Miller. He ran a big ranch in Sarasota County, and I guess we was probably 6 years old or so, you know, maybe seven, and they'd let us ride them older horses. They knew more than we did, but I remember one time real plain, they had these old government chutes with wooden head catches on them, and you let them outside, and had a cousin, and they caught a cow and worked on her, and cousin was right there, and he said, "Get out of the way." "What for?" He just kicked that gate open before that cow turned it. I mean, rolled him for a while.
Hey, there you go.
He never said another word. He just shut that gate and sent another cow.
Well, that sounds like a real valuable lesson and a real, real crucial teaching tool there.
You learn real fast, you know. But thank the Lord for them old men that taught us and took patience with us. And did show us how to get out of the way.
Okay, and Mr. Altman, speak a little bit closer to that microphone if you can.
People are louder if you can. Yeah.
Yeah,
this is this.
Okay, I'm through now.
Well, I guess that timing was pretty good. We'll give you a chance to ask another question, answer another question. Well, Mr. Everett, now what was the first thing you learned about working cattle?
Well, I learned stay out of the way, of course.
That sounds like an important lesson everybody's had to learn.
It's very important. But then I went too afraid either, because I used to kind of climb around them a little bit, you know, just to show the other guys what I could do. And it had been a good lesson for me. And I used to work to a livestock market, and they had these different steps around. You got to walk from one post to the other. And those cattle, I'd get right behind that post, a little post about like that, and they'd be hooking, and I'd just step around. Reaching my hand, I didn't put my hand on the head of them, and just show the people. I used to draw people from far and near just to come and watch me be a client in a rain.
So you've turned that survival skill into
yes, sir.
The entertainment aspect. Well, but so you all learned to sort of stay out of the way, but what were some of the chores that the younger children would be assigned to? I mean, like, would you be feeding them or driving them or what, Mr. Everett? What was...
Milking the cows, feeding the cattle, and gathering eggs, and skinning hogs, and skinning cattle, and all this thing. And whatever, we were at hand. And, I worked even a lot of ranches, you know, and I was always, give me the tough part. That's what I want.
So you weren't afraid of hard work?
No.
Well, Mr. Altman, what was the first, I mean, we've covered staying out of the way, but what was the first work that you had to do?
Feeding horses and cattle. Gosh, Lord, I don't know. You know, it's just come natural, really.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the first thing, just
so that
they were told to do.
Did they consciously teach you, or did you just sort of watch and see what everybody's doing?
You watched, and if you were told something, you done it. I mean, what none of this standing up, assassin, or talking back. Didn't matter what it was. If he told you to do it, first thing, you wasn't going to get you hurt. And they wanted it done right then. That don't fool around. Go, if he said go, just point me the way, and I'll go. But as far as learning or formal training or teaching, didn't have it.
Okay. Mr. Davis, now it's your turn. Tell us, what was about the first chores that you started doing?
Getting up early, feeding the horses, getting them all in the stalls or the little trap there in front of the barn, and closing the gate on them, and then running back to the house. And, but them old-timers, they'd always leave the smaller calves, you know, for the kids. And that was basically, you know, no, now, boy, you got the wrong leg, get the other leg, and showing us how that's when they would take time in those circumstances like that to show us, you know. But we was able to correctly learn how to throw a calf. And most of the old-timers, you know, you was taught by watching. You know, Daddy's favorite word was, hold your head up, boy, and you'll learn something. And that meant to hold your head up and pay attention, you know, because there wasn't no babying or come here, Shug, you know, if you got kicked or nothing like that. I mean, if you can't handle it, go back to the house with your mom. You know, it never was do this or do that. You know, just pay attention. And that's how you learn, basically. But all the chores, anything that, here's an example here, when you part your cows away from your calves, the kids always brought the calves to the calf table when the calf tables come up about, or bring them out of the big pen into the little pen. And through the years, you graduate up, and finally, when you probably get in the 40s or 45, you've made it to the head catch and vaccinating and stuff like that. And then when you get my age, I'm wanting to go back the other way and just bring the calves around, you know. So I guess it's once a man, twice a boy type of deal.
Tom, I want to get you to talk a little bit about, you were involved in a kind of a historical event down there with the rodeo, a black rodeo. Can you tell us about that?
Yes,
where,
sir.
It was and about when and how all that came to pass?
I had been trying to put on rodeos all around. And my brother and I and another boy, we ended up being Inverness, Florida. But they would never call us to ride. And when the rodeo over, I said, what the deal down here? Well, they said, we just didn't have enough stock and all that thing. I said, but we ended. So we just took it mildly. And I decided then, I said, now, I'm going to see if I can't put on an old dark skin rodeo. Anyway, I don't recall just exactly the year, but Mr. Major Bellamy and Hernando, he was running for county commissioner. And they had an arena up there on their property north of Hernando. And that was good for me because I was riding wood with them. And because we floated cattle, we used to float cattle when that water got real high. We floated cattle from 4 miles. All we'd do is go in those islands and push them off. It's too far for them to swim. Hook them up behind a boat, keep your nose up out the water, and we'd go to land. Many times, okay. They knew I was tough. And when they heard me say something about the old dark-skinned rodeo, they said, we'll help you. I was passing a little church over there in Hernando, and they had been raising money but never come up with a building. So I said, I got to put on something to encourage the people to help again, because they said, we've been helping everybody. You need to start something. I said, okay, I'm going to start something. So then I said, well, what if I start out putting on a rodeo, what type of help I can get? Oh, yeah, you just go ahead and get everything worked up. So we met at Inverness one night, and Mr. B.R. Quinn, he was the high sheriff of that county. And he was sitting, I didn't know him right then, he was sitting in the back of the building. Those folks were asking me questions, and I'd answer them. So every now and then he'd kind of do like that, and I'd watch the man was making a motion. So he said, well, we'll meet one more time and confirm everything. So I said, well and good. So he said, go ahead on and put it together. So anyhow, we did. We didn't have to buy no meat. The ranchers furnished meat. We had a large barbecue. We didn't even have to have the law out there. We put all that stock together. And this is what God done for us. We got started. The guys that used to ride in the woods with me up that way, not the Bellamy's now. The Rookses and all those other ranches out there, they furnished beef, hogs, and all this kind of stuff. We had a good time. All right, we had bull riding, bronc riding, calf roping, bulldogging. I would have won it, but a lady was up on that sitting high. She betrayed me. All I had to do, catch and throw it, throw it. And I hesitated. When I looked at who, I hesitated. And that steer would sit. And I tore up some earth. But anyhow, we had it all. You know, like I said, we had it all. And there was one boy, he was working with the Bellamy's. And he said, please let me ride. Please let me ride one of those bulls. And we said, okay. But ever since that time, things changed. God made a change for us. And it was history of that rodeo. So I can cut it off right there, but if you want to ask some more questions later, I'll do it. Thank you.
Okay, and just to clarify a few things, he was alluded to the Bellamy family, which is where it's in Hernando County,
yes.
and now is in Levy County in the person of Billy Bellamy. And I believe Major Bellamy, the fellow you talk about, was Billy's uncle.
That's right.
His uncle. And
he was a great
and
cattle.
Then you talk about the Rooks family.
Right.
Larry Rooks is the current president of the Florida Cattlemen's Association. So this is an interesting bit of history. I think Billy and I figured out what year it must have been, and I can't recall, but it seems like it was early 60s,
yeah,
something like 62
yeah.
or 64. But it was an all-black rodeo.
That's right.
First, and there is the Little Pigfoot Ranch in Levy County. They have a roping every year. It's a black family farm, but it's not all black roping. It's open to everybody, and people come from far and wide. It's every March, I think, the third weekend. So I'll be going to that this year. But that's an interesting bit of history.
Yeah, well, I was into bull riding too.
Yeah, I bet you're a good size for a bull rider.
Bull riding.
Have either one of y'all ever done any rodeo?
Very little. I tried a few saddle horses and a few bulls, and I found out I'd rather stay at home with Cynthia.
Well, also, isn't it kind of a conflict for a fellow who's earning his living working cattle to do rodeo stuff because of the injury problem potential?
Well, it's probably not that. I think it's talent. and we got to make a living, and we couldn't make a living rodeoing, or I couldn't. I think I made $172 in 20 years. So I kind of give that up. They just happened to be a bar right across the street from the arena, and I left that there. So it's best for me to stay in the woods.
I asked my dad one time about bull riding. He said, "What you gonna do with him after you get him rode?"
Yeah.
That pretty much ended that business.
We got about two or three more minutes, I guess. Anything you want to add, Bill?
I just think that it's great that these gentlemen have come up to share their experience. We've just heard the tip of the iceberg of a lifetime of working cattle. It's an awful lot of, you got to know what you're doing to stick with it for that length of time. Yeah. So I hope that you all will take advantage of their presence in the tent over here and come up and ask the questions you're burning to ask, because they've got the answers for you. Do we have time for any questions here?
About what?
About the mamas. Your daddies and your brothers out there, and you couldn't be a man, you had to go home to mama. Y'all all had a mama, right?
Best we can tell.
I'm telling.
So you're interested in the woman's role on the ranch?
Yeah, well, they knew what they could.
Beat your rear end if you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now we've had Miss Iris Wall up here talking about the woman's role on the ranch, and perhaps she can, she's over, available for further inquiry.
Yeah, they were. You betcha.
Iris Wall will be on also at 4:30 with Tales of Cracker Ranch Life.
And that's when you can get your question answered much better. We'll not to diminish these gentlemen up here.
There. And it's not, you know, that's a good subject, you know, and it's people like my mother and probably these fellas' mothers and Miss Iris, you know, and of course we don't do it anymore, but we've bunched cattle up and three or four of us have to hold the bunch and three or four of us go eat and everything. Of course, that was the women's job back then. But your shirt tail better be tucked in, and you better remember where you are around that eating table.
Amen.
You know, because Ma'll get on to you pretty hard. Now, Daddy would just beat hell out of you, but Ma'll go ahead and get on to you.
Yeah. I guess the foundation of cowboy manners is we owe that a lot to the ranch women.
That's exactly right. That's 100% right.
Okay. Any other questions up here? Okay. Well, Cowboy Bob, I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, we're going to wrap up. I wish we had a lot more time, but we do encourage you to stop by and visit. All these folks will be here until 5 o'clock or so, and please stop by and visit. They're here to talk, and they enjoy talking about all this, and believe me, they have a whole wealth of information. And Tom here is 75 years young, and he still works usually 7 days a week.
Yes, still ride their little bed horses.
Yeah, that's right. And same with these other folks.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank God for all of you all.